Hey, it's Smashville. Good morning, and thank you for joining us. It is Morning Drive off and running here on this Tuesday. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nikhale Braden-Gall, Derek Mason, and Chase McCabe with you. Oh, we got a good show today. Predators are rolling, a new number one in college basketball, and an offensive coordinator has landed in Nashville.
I like one game turns into a roll for the Predators. They didn't suck, all right.
Are on a roll, people.
We are back.
Huge bounce back game. Hey, on the road against Colorado, division rival team that's chasing you, you go out and you dominate 4-1. Probably game a little closer than that score, but still a very good performance by the Preds. But the Titans have an offensive coordinator. I saw the white smoke coming out of the chimney over there at St. Thomas Sportsplex. So that means the Pope has made a decision.
That is correct.
Or it's the Cardinal voting on the Pope, right? Isn't that what they get the smoke for?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, yeah, Nashville. 6:02 a.m. 23 degrees outside. Tuesday.
The Titans have an OC.
It is not overrated, but it is confirmed. Arthur Smith, come on down.
Who?
I think he didn't even have a Wikipedia page.
I think a lot of people might wonder who Arthur Smith really is, unless you're a hardcore Titans fan or you work in the media.
This guy lasted the Ken Wisenhunt. I mean, he survived the Ken Wisenhunt era. So
he survived this is his fourth regime for the Tennessee Titans. So you want to talk about stability and continuity? This guy's been here since Munch. So
he's the guy that just it's. The old saying is just keep your head down and work.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has kept his head down and worked. He hadn't said anything to anybody.
And tight end is a relatively good position for
because
this team.
He has survived three regimes.
Yep.
So he's basically kept his head down, hadn't said anything to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and
ruffled
and,
no feathers.
And one of the big things, I mean, we're going to get into a lot of the reasons. What does this mean for Mariota? What does this mean for the offense? What does this mean for Derrick Henry? Why was he the guy? There's a lot of questions that we need to answer. But at the end of the day, Arthur Smith is a young cat, obviously the son of Fred Smith, the guy, the billionaire who...
It doesn't hurt when your dad's a billionaire.
Yeah, billionaire, which means he could be doing anything in life, and instead he's grinding it away.
No. Let's not say that. Please, let's not say that, because we don't know that.
You're saying that could be estranged?
We've heard some situations where, you know, you have these... rich parents, and they just say the son or the daughter, y'all have a surplus put away for, you know, when things happen or when I pass away, but y'all gotta work.
Yeah,
because I work, y'all, so y'all gotta work. So let's not think, you know, it's just, oh, he can be doing anything else, it could be cushy. It's probably not that way.
See, well,
dad owns FedEx.
Exactly.
So we don't know. I was just trying to give the bio here.
No, not you. But I heard it on yesterday. Right. Not you. I'm not saying you.
So comes from the Smith family that owns FedEx. He was born in Memphis, Tennessee. Went to high school, Georgetown Prep in Bethesda, Maryland. Went to University of North Carolina. Played offensive line. Was a GA there. His first coaching job. He then moved to the Tennessee. He actually coached for the Washington Redskins and the Old Mississippi Rebels. For a couple of seasons before breaking into the NFL permanently for the Titans, was hired by Munchak, I believe, in 2011, and has been on the staff in some form or fashion as a offensive line coach, a quality control coach, or a tight ends coach the last 3 years under Munchak, Wisenhunt, Malarkey.
Sounds like a big law firm.
Vrabel, yes. The law firm of Munchak, Wisenhunt, Malarkey.
Personal injury.
Vrabel, yes. So he's been around the building a ton. He knows these players as well as anybody. There's a lot of pros, a lot of cons. We'll get into all of it, but that's sort of who he is. Very well respected. Everybody has Taylor Lewan, Marcus Mariota, you know, all the coaches that used to work with him and the coaches that currently work with him. Not a single bad word about the guy's work ethic, his relatability, all that stuff. Can the guy call plays? We will try to answer that question today on the show. Because that's the only thing we don't really know about the guy is, can he design and implement an offense? And sometimes you just don't know about that until you see him on Sundays.
All of that is paramount. That's what he's going to get paid to do, and that's how he'll be judged. But in the event I purchase something and FedEx brings the box and it comes damaged, can I go to Arthur Smith and, you know, bitch and moan about it and say, you know what, I need this taken back?
Since he probably has connections. Can.
Because I'll go to St. Thomas Sports Park and be like, hey, Arthur, I'm not really worried about the tight end right now. This package is a little damaged.
Hey, Arthur, come here for a second. I don't want to ask you about the tight end or what you're going to call. Hey, my box was messed up,
so
man.
You're going to go to a press conference. and around so like the Titans come off a big win.
Yeah.
You know, next year week three they beat somebody good, right? And the offense lights it up. Derrick Henry has a big game. Marcus plays really efficient football. They don't have to punt one time. A lot of great things to talk about in that press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And you go up there and you go, Coach Smith, this package was damaged. Can you talk to Daddy for me?
Yeah.
And get this taken care of?
Don't tempt me.
How do you think that'll go over?
You know, I could switch to UPS. You know, I've got options.
Yes, a bunch of them.
U.S. Postal Service.
Look, there is nothing worse than a messed up box, so you got to get that fixed.
Exactly. I took a picture of one the other day.
Did you?
One showed up. It was so bad. And I took a picture of it. I was like, I need to keep this for evidence.
Yeah.
Because like half the box, half the side was gone. It was just tape. Like the cardboard was just gone. I could reach my hand into the box. I'm like, this is not how you ship things.
Exactly right.
This is America.
Customer's always right.
This isn't Kazakhstan.
So we'll get to it. We got a lot of stuff to do with Arthur Smith, a lot of questions to ask. We'll get into all of that this morning. The Vols are the new number one team in college basketball. We'll get to that. But let's start yesterday. One thing that we can confirm, the Predators defeated the Colorado Avalanche yesterday 4-1. And yes, once again, Victor Arvidsson with another goal. Once again, Pekka Rinne was phenomenal. Stopped 35 out of 36 shots. And, you know, it's one game, but this is a team for some reason. You know, we talk about them playing down to competition. We talk about them struggling against Winnipeg. Colorado's a good team. Colorado's a playoff team. Colorado is a team that took this team, the Nashville Predators, to 6 games last year in the playoffs. And for whatever reason it is, maybe it's a matchup thing, maybe it's a youth thing for the Colorado Avalanche, the Preds seem to have a very good track record recently, last year plus, against Colorado.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. Certainly they had a long stretch there in the regular season of unbeatens against Colorado, and so that is true. I will say that the playoff series, while the game-clinching win was, I believe, a 5-0 dominating performance, every other game up until that point was a battle. So this was a critical game, a team playing really poor hockey relative to their standards. We talked a lot about it yesterday, just not what they expect. You know, 6-8-3 in their last 17, 1-4 in their last 5. Like, just not playing at the top of their level of standards. The power play not clicking on all cylinders right now. And for them to go in there and get goals the way they did, Arvidsson just shot out of a cannon with, like, the wraparound slam dunk. And then, of course, they give up a goal, but then they come back and answer with Watson and Yossi on the give and go. Nick Bonino is on a tear right now. Pekka Rinne stood on his head for the first period. So all the boxes you want to see checked. Defensively, they could have been a little bit better, but for the most part, that was a big-time performance on the road against a division rival in a situation where you're staring a break in the face. If you can go handle Vegas now and go into Vegas, go into the break with a 2-game winning streak, I think you feel very differently about their point total. Good point total either way, but you feel differently about it with a couple of wins here at the end of the stretch before they get to the All-Star break.
And congratulations to Predators head coach Peter Laviolette, who gets career win number 600. So a tip of the cap to Lavi for, you know, this milestone.
And Arvidsson, by the way, his 19th goal in 27 games. I tweeted this out yesterday. That is a 58-goal clip for a season.
Is that good?
Think about that. Like
That's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right.
It's
all right.
It's all right. It's all right.
Yeah.
Again,
anybody does that. Anybody do that.
19 goals in 27 games, if you extrapolate out, he would be on pace. Had he played a full season right now, he'd be on pace for nearly 60 goals.
He need to pick his game up, man. Seriously.
He's not doing enough.
He needs to score like 2 more goals a game.
If I'm him now,
he is on a tear.
I no longer want to be known as just the A in Jofa. Like, he's bigger than just the A in Jofa.
Yeah, why does Ryan Johansson get 2 letters and everyone else gets 1 letter?
Because he's Joe.
It should be Jofa.
Well, yeah, multiple A's.
That's what I'm going to say.
Let's extrapolate the A's.
Joe Harvey.
No, Jofa. A.
Or just make it like Jofa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dun.
Pronunciation's paramount.
Dun, dun, dun.
Emphasis on the fa.
That's correct.
Yeah. That's the worst conversation we've ever had.
We gotta, I'm just telling you right now.
We
got to think of another. Arvie Hussle. He's got to be bigger now.
If you're a business in Nashville, whether you're like maybe a coffee chain that's locally owned here, or maybe there's like a local energy drink.
How about a parcel delivery service?
But there you go. Yeah. Like, I would be marketing right now, and I would join to make a partnership with Victor Arvidsson for just because you said
we hustle
shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's your branding right there. Our coffee is so strong, you'll feel like you're shot out of a cannon.
VA, very outstanding.
Constable Coffee.
Outstanding.
I was thinking about something. What company, what job, what corporation
awesome.
really hustles? And I was like, oh, delivery service.
Very
right?
Awesome.
Like, if I'm a delivery service and or we bring food to you or something, like mm-hmm. something about how we come to your office mm-hmm. or we come. Listen, we're going to get there on time because Victor Arvidsson's doing the delivery.
There you go.
Could
you,
like
then
it.
You show smoke coming out of Victor Arvidsson's, like when he's running.
Yeah.
Then smoke come out like the old road runner thing.
We already got the whole campaign.
Yeah, we got it. Right. Let's do it.
What do we need an ad firm for?
There you go.
Who needs those people?
All right,
the
let's
ad
get
firm of Mason, Kalen, and Gall.
Actually, we'll handle your marketing.
A lot of ad firms are just last names.
Yeah.
speaking of the last name LaViolette, let's get to the head coach. He got win number 600 last night, and here was the coach asking what, if anything, it means to him.
When you're in the middle of it, the milestones, they come and go for everybody. For me, it's more about tonight was a team win, coming off of a couple losses and playing Colorado, the team right behind us in the standings. So just an important win for our guys. But, you know, I think more than anything, just for the players and the coaches and the staff and everybody that's a part of it, I'm just thankful for not only this team, but teams previous. It's been a accumulation of four different teams, so just lucky, I think, and fortunate to be in the game and stay in the game. Greatest job in the world.
There's Peter LaViolette, and of course, not making it about himself, but you know, the players, the team, and the four teams that he's been a part of.
And he did that interview next to a train, so that was nice of him.
That's nice, you know,
a big train or a little train?
It sounded like a big train. I don't know.
Okay.
Choo-choo train.
Or a cart.
The new public transportation system in Nashville, brought to you by Victor Arvidsson.
Is it a choo-choo train or just a
or maybe it's locomotive. Mr. Rogers' trolley.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing a Mr. Rogers remake
Tom
Hanks.
I would
the
really,
little engine that could.
That's Victor Arvidsson.
I feel like science could study Nick Cale's brain, and we could figure out how it works.
Yeah.
Like, how do you
I've
go
already told
to
you on
Mr.
This show,
Rogers' trolley?
I have, like, broadcaster CTE. I already know I do.
You've been sitting in that
like
chair
too long. Like yesterday when I said Sonny Dykes instead of Jimmy Dykes.
Yeah.
All those names and numbers, they go in one ear, out the other. They bounce around.
See, you got a bunch of Dykes on your mind.
Exactly.
See, that I understand. Yeah. Good Lord. That I understand, Nick. Like getting the names wrong all the time. Or like I always say Georgia won the national championship in 2007 because I thought they were the best team in the SEC, but LSU actually won. Like I know LSU won the national title, but I've done that bit so many times that my brain doesn't compute it correctly. Mm-hmm. So I get messing up the names, but we were talking about trains and you said Mr. Rogers trolley.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you're.
I don't know. Mr. Rogers trolley.
Like
remember
know,
trolley? He used to come yeah. around. Doo-doo,
right, but how thing. Did you go from that?
I never had a trolley in my hood.
Yeah, me either. Yeah. Point A to point B is exactly. always fascinating with you, Nick.
Yeah, well, it's not a matter of like, you know, how you go from A to B. It's the vehicle you take to get there.
Again, I
okay, it's not how
get
you
break.
Get
so,
there.
So, like, are you taking, like, a bird scooter?
It's not how you get there. It's how you get there.
No, but by the way, speaking of bird scooters, did you hear Willie Donick's rant on the scooters in this town?
Willie Donick
late
rant?
Last week on You Just Made the List.
I live in the same neighborhood as Willie Donick, and I actually find them to be quite efficient in our neighborhood.
Do you really?
Only in our neighborhood. I don't want to use them anywhere else.
See, I feel like that would be, like, community clutter. Like, I wouldn't want them just laying around my neighborhood.
They really don't take up that.
Well, you can make some money by being one of those people that charges them.
So, hey, I wouldn't endorse this, but if this was a video game, I just want points. Just hitting them. Just points. I see them all. It's just
prison
points. I know that.
I know.
Just
clip
them with your car.
Just clip them.
Well, see, but this isn't like we don't live in a neighborhood in the truest sense of a neighborhood where you drive into a gated community and there's like cul-de-sacs. That's not how the neighborhood we live in. We live in a neighborhood where there's a bunch of bars and restaurants and clothing shops and hair salons and all this other stuff. And
so I'm trying to move out of my neighborhood. Y'all want to buy?
And no, I'm good. And people
you're moving again.
And there's tourists.
Yes, I want to move again. So anybody want to buy a home?
Yeah, a lot of people do.
You want to buy my home?
Ain't nobody in that price market.
A pool, yeah, everything. Everything you wanted, you got it.
I'll give you about 300.
An unused
I'll give you
pool.
300 grand.
I got one.
Huh?
300 grand for your pad.
For the outside.
That's all I can afford.
Yeah.
That'll buy the pool.
The pool's never been used, though, people. Been used pool.
That'll get me his stoop. That's all I'll give him, 300 grand.
And then we can just sit on it.
Bob
sit
or
on
Mark.
It all day. Hey, buddy, you can see a beautiful sunrise, though.
Okay.
You can. Right. Beautiful sunrise.
Make sure you put that in the ad listing.
Sounds like some salesmanship there.
All right, college basketball, there's no salesmanship, at least when it comes to rankings, because the Vols are the new number one team
Woo-hoo!
In America. Second time in program history. Coincidentally, The last time they were over a decade ago, the next game was against Vanderbilt. They lost.
Oh, wow.
Who do they play tomorrow night?
Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt. We're going to talk about the Vols when we come back and also tie them into the Preds. You're probably like, what? How? College basketball? Professional hockey? Stay there. It's next on Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Morning Drive. The Vols are your new number one in college basketball. The new AP poll comes out yesterday. Gentlemen, the Vols are number one, followed by Duke, Virginia, Gonzaga, and the Michigan Wolverines.
That's that old joint right there.
All right. Yeah, that's old school. All right. So here's the deal. Listen, a day where your team gets to be number one in college basketball is a day you should celebrate.
You're going
to
throw cold water on this.
No,
you are.
No, they just don't mean anything, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't.
They don't mean anything. College basketball regular season rankings mean nothing. If college football regular season rankings mean nothing, then college basketball regular season means nothing.
But if you're, if you're Duke, you don't celebrate that because you've got 13,000 titles. But when you've only been number one two times in your program's history, I think it's worth celebrating for at least 48 hours.
Well, I think this is more like I'm pouring a bucket of hot water onto something that's already cold, maybe. The starting point is, let's not overreact. Let's not go crazy. This is college basketball rankings. Much like college coaching extensions. I compare them to a college coach extension, right? The day your coach gets an extension is a day you should celebrate your program. It's a day you should be proud of what they've accomplished, and it's a cool moment. But a college coaching extension is not literally even worth the paper it is printed on because you can be fired or hired the very next day. It is awesome. It is a wonderful thing for Rick Barnes and Tennessee fans to celebrate. They should celebrate. They should be proud of their team. There's no reason not to be proud of their team. And to be only one of two teams to have ever done this with this collection of upperclassmen, I think is a special thing for them to have. And they can put it in their back pocket and they can carry that around the rest of their lives. But it doesn't mean a damn thing. It doesn't. Because what matters, and again, we were talking about this yesterday, like I would trade SEC regular season championships and SEC tournament championships and SEC Player of the Year awards for Grant Williams if it meant a trip to the Final Four.
Oh, sure.
Because the Final Four is all that matter. And what's really cool about this team is it's now being graded on a much higher curve than any other Tennessee team ever has been graded on. And that is, if you don't go deep in the tournament, we will view this season as somewhat of a disappointment. So appreciate it. Enjoy it. Love it. Celebrate it. High five your buddy. Send a cool tweet. Whatever you got to do. But it don't mean a thing if you ain't got that ring. I mean, you gotta listen. This whole team's about March, man. Let's just see how they do. Let's enjoy it. Let's celebrate and let's move on. But don't take it too seriously.
I mean, it's like you said, celebrate it now because it's been a very long time since this team had a number one ranking. So celebrate it, but don't get lost don't get caught up in, oh, we're number one right now, because you become the hunted now and everybody's coming for you. And the next opponent up is Vanderbilt, and they can just as easy humble you as any other team in the country. So basketball is different, man, because you can from top to bottom, you can be the better team. But if you're having an off night shooting, you can lose to, I mean, you could lose to the worst team in the country if you're having off-night shooting.
They could lose tomorrow night.
If they get hot from behind the arc, you're done.
Absolutely. So they can't, you know, you take it for what it's worth. Yes, you celebrate it. But then you understand that, you know, things can change. I think they're one of the best, you know, four teams in the country. I really do, from top to bottom. Do I think they are the best team? No, I think Duke is the best team.
But do you think they can beat Duke?
I think they would have a better shot at beating Duke then. The only other team I think that probably could beat Duke is
Kansas,
maybe Gonzaga.
Kansas. They got the length.
Yeah, because Kansas is big. Virginia, even though they lost to them, I think because of their height, they have a they could beat them.
See, I think Tennessee matches up better with Virginia.
I agree.
Than they do Duke. But I still believe they have a shot against Duke.
When Duke gets fully healthy, can't nobody. I don't care. Can't nobody.
Do they have Tennessee four? Can't they have touch four of the top 10 picks in the draft.
Would Trey Jones come back?
Nobody else in America is even close to that.
You know, Zion, he's fully healthy. You got R.J. Barrett. I mean, these young men can flat out play. Can't nobody beat him.
Did you see the end of the Virginia game?
I didn't watch the end.
So Zion dominated a lot of that game, but RJ Barrett at the end of that game took over. He went ISO and he scored and ones a couple different times. I mean, there's nobody that can guard him on Tennessee's roster. So listen, Tennessee is an extremely good team. And here's what I always, because my buddies are all like,
they're going crazy.
Oh, my buddies are all like, oh, because I go, guys, Duke's better. And they're like, you're stupid. Duke is not better than us. We're way better than Duke. And I'm going,
no, it's not a way
I want to be
better.
Like, guys, here's my stocking answer now, because I can't argue with them because their brains are in like UT La La Land.
It's orange.
Like,
they're just, their brains are oozing orange right now. Like, rightfully so.
And sure, exactly. Like, you should be celebrating this team. It's a great team. And they are one of the best three or four or five teams in America. They have as good a chance to get to the Final Four as anybody else in America, especially if they don't draw Duke in the first round, which is why they need to get a one seed, because you want to avoid Duke until the final. You want to push that matchup off with Duke as late as possible. But here's my stock answer to everybody now. Boy, I'd sure love – I don't think they can win, but boy, I'd love to find out what happens. I'd love to see them try. I'd love to see Final Four weekend on a Saturday night or a Monday night. Hey, if the Vols are there in that situation – all bets are off, because you've gone further than you've ever gone before, and that is no matter what happens in that game, it will be a successful season. So I sure as heck would like to see him try against Duke. I don't think they'd win, but I'd like to see him try.
I am glad you said all bets are off. We're going to go all bets on right now. Here's the hypothetical question, and it's not even a hypothetical. It's a reality. Right now, if I told you you had to risk an amount of money that matters to you, so for Derek Mason, that would be $5. For Chase McCabe, that would be $6. Braden and I,
$250.
Right now, because the springtime is going to be really good around here. If I told you you had to wager on the Vols to win the national title or the Predators to win the Stanley Cup, which one would you put your money on? The number one team in college basketball, which I believe has the third best odds right now, according to Vegas, to win the national championship, or the Predators, who are certainly more experience in this type of situation, and I believe they have like the sixth best odds to win the cup.
And they have a far more talented roster relative to their surroundings than the Vols do to their surroundings. However, I look around college basketball, and I don't see a bunch of teams loaded with one-and-dones. I mean, I see a bunch of Michigans and Virginias and Nevadas, and you know, Virginia Tech was a top 10 team just up until a few minutes ago. Now, Michigan State's got NBA players. Kansas has got NBA players. Gonzaga's got NBA players. There's a handful of teams like that. If you told me which team had a better chance to get to the finals, like Final Four for the Vols or Stanley Cup Final for the Preds, I would go with the Vols. Mm-hmm. But winning it all, I think the Preds have more upside. I think they have more talent.
Both postseasons are very unpredictable.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
I think basketball is a little bit more unpredictable than hockey. Because again, you can have an off night shooting from the 3-point line, and another team can have a hell of a night shooting from the 3-point line.
And keep in mind, tournament's one and done. Playoffs for the cup are best of seven.
Exactly. So I would pick the Preds. Not because I don't think the Vols can win it. It's just the unpredictability of college basketball. Now, here's where you know. Vol fans, let's not get caught up in this number one ranking, because there are six teams in this top six or five that has an opportunity at eventually being number one. Duke has already been number one. You got Virginia, you got Gonzaga, you got Michigan, Michigan State. I'm not too sold on Michigan. I saw them play this weekend. They're a big team. I don't know how skilled they are. I don't know how athletic they are as a team. They are well coached.
It's a system.
Play good defense, but I just don't think if they can. They got one guy on the perimeter that I think that can go one on one. But other than that, they got a big fella in the middle, 6'11" guy, 7-footer. I just don't think they are the team. Kentucky's inching up there. That's why I say you got to be just keep an eye on Kentucky. And what they do.
Here's all you need to know about the rankings. The last time Tennessee was number one in the nation, 2008, when they beat Memphis, they were a 2 seed and they lost by 20 in the Sweet 16 to Louisville. So got blown out, didn't even get to the Elite Eight. So this is where I'm saying the rankings now don't matter. Don't tweet me because they're 5-0 that I was wrong about a million things.
At Braden Gold.
Wait until the tournament, and then you can yell at me, okay?
Quickly, the Preds currently, I just looked this up, plus 800 or 8-1 to win the Stanley Cup. The Vols plus 1,000, 10-1.
There you go.
How many people have better odds than the Preds? Do you have that in front of you? Or we'll just get that next segment when we're done with Floyd.
So you got.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
We're already way late. So
Tampa is 5-1. Vegas is 7-1. And then Nashville and Winnipeg both 8-1.
Wow. So the Preds just shot up.
That's you got like 8 teams that can win a national championship. Tennessee, Duke, Virginia, mm-hmm. Gonzaga, Michigan, Michigan State,
okay.
Kentucky, Kansas. Nevada's even this, number 7.
Nevada's a good team.
This question is great for me because I'm about to go to Vegas.
There you go. Place a few shekels on a couple of the locals.
Auburn's even good. I mean, you just got to – that's why basketball – it's just college basketball is so unpredictable. But I do pick, at the end of the day, Duke is the best team when they are fully healthy. Nobody.
All right, when we come back, we will get Floyd Reese's initial reaction to the Tennessee Titans' new offensive coordinator. What does he make of Arthur Smith? That's next here on Morning Drive. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the Game Natural Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet, as we welcome in our resident general manager, co-host of Jared and the GM, the great Floyd Reese. Floyd, good morning. How are you?
Gentlemen, what's going on?
Oh, you know, just an offensive coordinator in the fold now. But my first question, and I literally, it's almost as if I had the question scripted and it popped into my head when I saw the announcement on Twitter. I instantly asked myself and tweeted, did continuity for Marcus win out over the best man for the job? So with Arthur Smith, was it more about continuity or did they truly believe this is the guy we got to have calling plays?
You know, continuity is a good thing. You know, don't get me wrong. But, you know, if you go out and hire really good coaches, they're going to get hired away from you. You know, you're going to lose them. That's part of the game. And I think everybody understands that. Now, how often do you hire a first-year offensive coordinator that ends up the head coach at Green Bay Packers? Now, that doesn't happen a great deal. But it does happen, and I think you prepare yourself for that. I don't think that in any way, shape, or form limits who you hire next. You know, I think you hire a coordinator expecting him to be there as long as he's a coordinator. If you hire a really good coordinator, let's face it, it's going to be a matter of a year or two before he gets a shot at being a head coach someplace.
So when John Robinson called you, why did you tell him to hire Arthur Smith?
You know, I think Arthur is interesting because really none of us know a great deal about him. He's been one of those guys that's been there for forever. I think Munch originally hired him, and he's been one of those guys that everybody loves. I mean, when you talk to people, nobody ever has a bad thing to say about him. You know, great guy, really smart. Outstanding worker, understands ball, all of those kinds of things. But because he's not in the forefront, you know, he's not somebody that you hear about ever, I think it becomes kind of a surprise. I mean, I didn't think they would hire somebody in-house, to be honest. But they did, and it sounds like everybody's thrilled about it.
Florida, you know how this business works. You are the light guy. You are the great guy until you become the guy. Everyone loves the position coach until he becomes the head coach or the guy that's calling plays. I can't help but think that if this thing doesn't work out, then we might have a new coaching staff. Because you're taking a chance on a guy that has never called plays in the NFL. Now, I mean, designing things, you know, in the background and not being that guy on game day is two different things. But when you actually have to be that guy, it changes the dynamics. Now you have to try to make sort of everybody happy instead of just making, you know, a group of guys happy. Do you think that this hire will either, you know, make or break Mike's tenure here with the Titans?
Well, I don't think there's any, you know, I think he understands this. You know, literally every hire he makes is going to be a determining factor, you know, as to his tenure. Because every time somebody is hired or every time somebody's fired, they're going to be looking at the head coach because he's the guy that is doing it. And so it's a reflection of him, whether he likes it or not. And he knows that. He knows that better than anybody. And that's why you kind of, you know, I mean, really, LaFleur, when we brought him in, he hadn't made a call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't making play calls on game day. And so it was the same thing. I mean, you're bringing in a guy that you know. If there's a giant positive to it, I think it's that. This guy, everybody has been around. Everybody knows. Everybody understands. The players know him, seem to appreciate him, really like him. I haven't heard a lot, but the little bit you hear, it sounds like from that standpoint, it was a home run. So, you know, whether you go out and hire somebody else's guy that has never made a call or you hire your guy that has never made a call, you're really kind of facing the same problems.
Do you think he was more willing to hire Arthur because they're more like-minded? Because I always thought that Vrabel was the type of guy that wanted to play great defense and run the football. And this LaFleur thing was okay, let's try this out. The NFL's going this way. But it just didn't work out the way he envisioned it to work out. But in his heart, he's let's play great defense and run the football.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. I think he has a comfort zone with Arthur. You know, I think that you're probably right. They probably are like-minded in a lot of ways and thoughts on, you know, how you prepare, how you go about it, what are you teaching, what is going to be the identity of the offense. If you probably ask Arthur, you know, what's the identity of your offense going to be, and then you ask LaFleur, and I doubt you would come up with the same question. There would be some carryover between the two, but I, in my mind, I doubt it would be exactly the same.
Floyd Reese joining us here as he does every Tuesday on Morning Drive. So, Floyd, we know Vrabel's a defensive-minded guy, a defensive player, a defensive coordinator in Houston. There's no offensive-minded head coach here in Nashville. So if you're Arthur Smith, is this even a little bit more difficult, not only because you're calling plays for the first time, but you don't have that offensive resource to lean on? You know, like in Kansas City, you know, Nagy with Andy Reid or DeFilippo with Peterson or LaFleur with McVay, you don't have that guy to kind of bounce things off of. Is it more difficult for Arthur Smith considering Vrabel is a defensive guy?
Well, you don't have many sounding boards. I think you're right. You know, if it gets to a point where, you know, you're sitting there on Tuesday night and it's 2:00 in the morning and you're saying, okay, do we want this series of plays or this series of plays? I mean, you know, you're going to have to make that decision on your own because there's not going to be somebody there you can turn to and say, you know, what would you do in this case? All the resources he's going to have from that standpoint will be the guys in the room with him, which can be good and can be bad. You know, I think information is always good. By the same token, if everybody's on exactly the same page, you know, you probably have, in the long term, a better chance of succeeding. And I think we only had to look like this weekend at the New England Patriots to see, you know, a great example of everybody being on the same page, doing the same things, talking the same way, and the effects that can have.
Well, and I think that makes Pat O'Hara's role that much bigger as well. I think the two of them are going to be working hand in hand. It's almost like co-coordinators in my mind because they're both, one guy's the quarterback's guy and one guy's the run game guy. Let's say hypothetically, what I've been reading and what I've been hearing a lot is that it's going to be sort of a mix and a mashup between, you know, he pulled LaFleur into the running game late in the year a little bit more, kind of urged him to go that direction. That certainly worked near the end of the season. Let's say hypothetically somebody is sort of in between Exotic Smash Mouth with Malarkey and what Matt LaFleur wanted to do last year. What exactly would that offense look like in your mind, sort of that middle ground?
Well, I think that in spite of what we say and maybe even what we want to do, this offense keeps coming back to the running game. You know, we may think, okay, we're going to be much more out there and we're going to, you know, go up and down the field like the Rams and, you know, we're going to do all this. But when it's all said and done, we kind of evolve back to, you know, let's turn around and give it to Derrick Henry a bunch and see what happens. So I think it would start there. I would think, now this is just me, but I would think that they would probably match up more of the what the running game looks like, exactly what it looks like, and what play pass action looks like exactly, and maybe not be as fine-tuned, at least initially, in the down-the-field passing game. But that's just a, you know, just a guess, just a gut hunch on my part, simply because, you know, there, I think those would be the kind of things that Vrabel would like. I think that would be the kind of things that, you know, if you ask all the offensive players, okay, what's the best thing that we do, you know, they're all going to say, hey, give the ball to Derrick Henry and play action pass out of that. So I think it would at least have to start there.
Floyd, good stuff. We appreciate the time. We'll listen today at 2 o'clock.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Floyd Reese, former Titans general manager, co-host of Jared and the GM. We'll come back. We'll give our initial reaction and take to the hire, and we want to hear from you then as well. Phone number, as always, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Arthur Smith discussion on the other side here on Morning Drive on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
To all my wonderful men listeners out there, listen, I got something to tell you, okay? And it's about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. Yes, over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. The older you get, man, your body starts to get out of whack. So that's why you should go see Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with their experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. We all need a better life. You know, Nashville's a booming city. We need to be out and about, running around. If you got young kids, go out with your kids, play and everything else. So with that being said, Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men in Brentwood, Nashville, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune system, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy, enriched life. And who doesn't need that? And there is no better time to achieve a healthy lifestyle than now. I'm telling you, your wife will love it, fellas. So get there. Go see our good friends. What are you waiting for? Cool Springs MD. Call today for an appointment at 660, that's 615-660-6900, 615-660-6900. Your wife and your kids will love you. Visit the website, coolspringsmd.com.
All right, welcome back in. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. So Arthur Smith, and boys, I'm completely fine with the Titans promoting from within. I like when companies and organizations and teams promote from within. People have earned their stripes. You know, you try to progress and advance in your career. I'm all good with that. But boy, let me just start with just the first thing beyond the, I felt like it was more of a continuity move as opposed to
well,
best for the job. But
can we, I think we should get into that though a little bit.
You think so?
I mean, Derek, I'd like your perspective on what does it mean to have the same quarterbacks coach and to now have but a guy, by all accounts, who had his hand in everything. Like, he wasn't just a tight ends coach, even though that's what his title was. He did the work on a lot of other things. What does that actually, when we say continuity and stability, what does that, I mean, he's got a relationship with Marcus Mariota, but he doesn't have a play-calling relationship with Marcus Mariota. Yeah. So what does the continuity and the stability really mean here? It certainly is the most stable it could have been. You know, because now you're bringing in a tight ends coach instead of bringing in an offensive coordinator, right? What does that actually mean to the players? Like, to the young, because I've heard it's going to matter a lot more to the young receivers than it will to the actual quarterback.
I don't think it matters. Here's the thing. He was a tight ends coach. And he didn't have, his relationship with anybody outside the tight ends coach was just, you know, a, hey, what's going on? Hey,
one of the boys type
thing? One of the boys thing. It wasn't this in-depth relationship that he had with his tight ends. Because when you are a position coach, it's just you and your group. And y'all are a family. When I, you know, whether it was Michael Johnson, whether it was, you know, coaches that I've had in the past, receiver coaches, and I've had a bunch of them. Head coach at Stanford. He was my assistant coach. He was my position coach. I can't remember.
David Shaw?
Yeah, David Shaw was my assistant coach.
That's a heck of a position coach.
Position coach. He was my position coach. Michael Johnson was my position coach. He's coaching in Oregon now. I've had, you know, Alan Lowry. I've had some really, really, you know, good position coaches. And we were a family. We didn't venture outside and talk. We didn't try. It wasn't like we were, oh, everybody. You know, we were our own little family. We discussed things amongst ourselves. So this notion of, oh, he has this great relationship with everybody. No, he doesn't. Yeah, they know each other and they have a relationship, but he has more of a relationship with his tight ends than he does with the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Unless he was in those meetings with the quarterback, which he probably wasn't because he was coaching his own unit.
And this just, to me, when you go this route, and again, I'm not saying he won't work out, but boy, if this is the be-all, end-all, this is the moment for Marcus Mariota, fifth year, we're going to figure it out, we're going to find out what he is, you're risking a lot. This is a gamble with an OC when this is a monstrous year for Marcus Mariota, because this city wants to know definitively whether or not it's his last year or if he's going to be here for the next seven.
Why did they hire LaFleur? Tell me, why did they hire LaFleur?
To get the most out of Marcus?
Absolutely. To coach Marcus up. He and O'Hare.
Modernize
the
offense?
To coach Marcus up. To get Marcus to this level where he's the Jared Goffs or the Wentzes or the Mahomes of the NFL. We were going to usher Marcus into this new wave of the NFL, let him start throwing the football. Okay? That's why they brought LaFleur in. Why are they bringing it now? Why do they hire Arthur Smith? Is Arthur Smith now this guy that's going to usher Marcus into, is he the guy that's going to do it now? Because we thought that LaFleur was going to be the guy. Now, is Arthur Smith the guy that's going to do it? Because in my mind, O'Hara, it was great that O'Hara stayed. Because he is the one that has the relationship with Marcus. But if I'm being honest with myself, and I'm being honest with our listeners.
Are you routinely dishonest with yourself?
No, never.
Okay. I'm just curious.
If I'm being honest with our listeners, I don't think he enhances Marcus any. This will go back to being, and people, do not get mad. Please do not get mad. When y'all see this offense, I think it's going to be productive as long as that offensive line blocks and Derrick Henry runs the way he runs. But this thought of Marcus throwing for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, it's not going to happen in this offense. It's going to be more so Derrick Henry rushing for 1,200, 1,300 yards and Marcus passing for 2,500, 3,000 yards, maybe 20 touchdowns. And
so do you think Vrabel hired a guy to run an offense that – fits under the philosophical umbrella that Vrabel has envisioned?
Yeah. Absolutely. The personnel that's on his team right now fits what Arthur Smith wants to do.
I agree with that to some degree. I don't think this is going to be 1975 football, though. I think it's a mix. He's going to bring the personnel, which includes Marcus, into this sort of – I think he's the middle ground between this pass-happy air raid trend that we're seeing – and, you know, old school Mike Mularkey football. I think we're going to see Arthur Smith sort of bridge the gap between those two, because the personnel on the roster, it was built physically by John Robinson and Mike Mularkey. Here's Marcus's quotes about Arthur Smith. Quote, "Art has been a steady supporter since I've gotten into the league. It's been a true blessing to have gotten to know him, and I'm excited to work with him. His ability to consistently get our guys prepared week in and week out has been impressive. I'm looking forward to working with him in a new role." And, you know, that is
so who
what,
was calling
what
the plays here?
Well,
No. Because listen to what Marcus has said. He has done a good job. Is he just talking about the tight ends? He has done a good job at preparing our guys week in and week out. Is he talking about the tight ends, or is he talking about, you know, the offense in general?
I think both, because, again, from what you read and what you know about Arthur Smith is that he didn't really stay in his own room all the time. He dabbled in everything. He was working with the offensive line guys. He was working with the receivers. He was with Pat O'Hara talking about the offense. He was sort of he's one of these guys that wants to be in everything, to learn up everything and soak up everything. It doesn't mean he can call plays and have this great innate ability to know when to go take the shot down the field or when to run the football. I mean, he's going to have to learn that on the job, and that's the only there are no indicators of play calling before you actually call plays. It's sort of like when you play quarterback. When the bright lights come on, can you handle it or can you not? But I think Marcus is referring to personally. I think everybody touts his ability and the job he did this year with the tight ends. He has the number. If you look at, he's coached Delanie Walker. who has the second most catches in the entire NFL during Arthur Smith's coaching tenure, to only Travis Kelce. He's third in yards behind only Rob Gronkowski and Travis
Kelce.
But is
that O'Hara or just Delanie Walker?
Well, I mean, it's Delanie Walker. Let's give credit to him. But I'm just saying he's been the coach who was responsible for the tight ends who accomplished X, Y, and Z. And those accomplishments are basically the third most productive tight end in the NFL. And then when he lost that guy, he developed Jonnu Smith into a productive player. And then when Jonnu Smith got hurt, he turned Michael Pruitt and Firkser and Stocker into productive players. So I think the one of the big check marks in his column is that the tight ends were one of the most developed, even in the face of injuries, were one of the best prepared and most developed groups of the team this year. At the end of the season, we were looking at three nobodies and saying, hey, those guys are pretty good. And Arthur Smith gets the credit for that. So I think it's important that O'Hara and Smith are together on this, that you've got the quarterback coach and the new OC who's calling plays for the first time that all fit the personnel very well and work together. I think the fact that O'Hara and Smith can be together on this is important. If O'Hara were to leave or not be a part of this and they're bringing in a whole nother quarterback's coach, they're not changing the terminology all that much on the offense. That's the continuity, stability thing. He'll bring in his own stuff. He'll have his own thoughts and his own plays and his own this and that. But for the most part, it's going to be similar, and it's going to work better with the personnel. In theory, that's the goal in hiring Arthur Smith. Who knows if it's going to work? Because when push comes to shove, calling plays, I think, is just a skill you have inside of you. It's a gut thing versus, can I learn how to be good at this, this, and this? It's just a gut thing. He either has it or he doesn't, and we'll find out on Sundays if he does.
Okay, was this the top target all along? Did others turn down the job? We'll explore that next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.